There's an old saying, never talk about religion or politics. So I guess I'm in really big trouble today because I'm going to talk about both. It's an election year, so sooner rather than later, we're all going to be talking about politics if you aren't already. You're already watching your Facebook posts, sharing your Facebook posts, out there advocating for your particular candidate. It's a big deal. It's a big conversation. Friendships have ended over political discussion, and friendships have ended over religious discussion and differences in opinion. So I want to talk about that for a minute, because one of the things that sets Christians against the world is politics, or at least the church seeking to be political, or considered by the world to be too political. They don't trust what we have to say. They think we have some type of political agenda behind what we're doing. And once again, we have earned that right to have that reputation. Politics literally means affairs of the city, an organized system of influence to order society under laws. The goal is to form agreements so that two groups that disagree can live together. The relationship between Christians and the government has changed over and over since the early church. Christians were persecuted at the outset. The Roman Empire sought Christians as entertainment in their arenas. They considered them rebellious for not saying that Caesar is Lord, but saying that Jesus is Lord. So the church was on the outs until it wasn't. Until Constantine made Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire. And the two became one, and to be a Roman citizen was to be a Christian. Because of that, and because of things that have happened over time, for a long time, Christianity was a center of culture. Candidates spoke in churches. Churches were the meeting house at the center of town. Political leaders consulted pastors on the best way to organize their towns. Churches, Christianity, had major influence over the culture. You hear it said all the time that America was founded as a Christian nation. Whether that's true or not, people came here for religious freedom, to express their religious freedom, and people were, and Christianity was at the center of who and what and everything. But over time, the church has obviously lost its influence. It's lost its ability to influence the culture. We are not consulted any longer. Have you noticed that? Politicians don't ask us the best policy. They don't think the church is credible as a credible source anymore. And so in reaction to that, the church has sought to transform the world through its political influence, the religious right, legislate morality. If we just get the right people elected, then everybody will have to listen to what God says. If we have laws that disobey God, the country is going to fall apart. The church has sought to transform the world through political influence rather than pursue the commission that Jesus gave his disciples to make more disciples. The weaponization I'm talking about, you see it played out all the time, especially in election year. Our side is good, their side is evil. There's a word for that. It's called syncretism. And what syncretism is the blending of two belief systems into one school of thought. The blending of Christianity and political influence is syncretism. And you hear it expressed like this. How can you be a Christian and vote for a fill in the blank? How could you be a Christian and vote for that candidate? How could you be a Christian and vote for so-and-so or for such-and-such party? If we pass these laws or fill this Supreme Court, then everything will be okay. Then God will bless this country again. Do you hear what I'm saying in those statements? You cannot tell Christianity from political agenda. They're two systems of life combined into one school of thought, one way of thinking. If Christians will just vote the right way, the country will be better. It'll be great again. It'll be what God has made it to be. Take any way you want to look at it. Are we really saying to follow Christ, someone has to repent of a particular political party? Is that what we're saying? Can you hear that statement? Think about that. You can't be a Christian if you vote for X. So we're asking you to repent of your political affiliation in order to be a Christian. I don't think that is what Christ intended for his church. But you know what? It's nothing new. It's absolutely nothing new. The disciples argued. This is Luke 22, 24 to 26. A dispute arose among them also as to which one would be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves." You see, the disciples, as they're following the Messiah around, still assumed that Jesus was going to establish a political kingdom, a new Israel that was going to kick the Romans to the curb, a political power that was going to rise. The disciples are looking to Jesus to establish an earthly dominion, a new government, and they were arguing about who would be the right-hand man in the new system of government. Who would be the most powerful in the new kingdom? You could even argue, I think, that Judas's betrayal of Jesus was not so much because he did not love Jesus or even think that Jesus was the Messiah, but he was seeking to provoke Jesus into a political confrontation, a military confrontation with the leaders, so that he would finally act like a Messiah. And when Jesus submitted, Judas was so crushed that he betrayed his Messiah, he killed himself. The disciples were still confused. They were still expecting Jesus to be this political power, this earthly king, and they wanted to be in the court. Nothing has changed. We want influence. We want to shape the culture. We want to do it through political power and legislating morality. But what does Jesus say to his disciples? He says, the greatest of you is the one who serves. Our influence as a church, and little c church, as a body of Christ, the universal church, comes when we seek to serve the city, not to rule or legislate it. To be last is to be a servant. Our cultural reality as Christians is more like being in Babylonian exile than it is like being in the Promised Land. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego helped Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon flourish. They served in his court, they advised him, and he trusted them for their wisdom, even though they were slaves with no particular political power or influence. Now, I'm not saying that politics is evil. On the contrary, I think Christians should and could make the best possible politicians because we're caring, gracious, sacrificial, moral, and we can rightly see the way the world ought to be ordered. But political influence is not the mission of the church. When we make cultural war, we set ourselves in opposition to the world, and those outside the church see Christians as being too political. Jesus will not establish his kingdom through the triumph of a political party, but through Christians who demonstrate God's love to the world by sacrificing ourselves for their sake. Who can be the most loving? Who can be the most serving will be first. Let's pray. God, as we enter into this week and we look at our friends and have political conversations, and while we are seeking the best, let us be known for seeking the welfare of others, not ourselves. Let us be known for seeking to transform the world by sacrificing ourselves for it, not trying to lord it over. Help us to submit to your will as we seek to serve and love and live the gospel in front of everyone else. In Christ's name, amen.